Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Dude Therapist. We have Jordan Green on, or as people know her as The Love Therapist on social media. She's on a mission to empower people with therapist-created tools to master their mental health, improve their relationships, and unlock their full potential. She is a yoga instructor, an LCSW, a Gottman-certified couples therapist, and in 2020, she founded Remble. Remble is a wonderful on-demand mental health home base with guided courses, therapeutic activities and self-practices, daily videos, and community support. It is a wonderful hub for anyone looking for that full picture of mental health support. I'm so excited to have this conversation about the idea of what it means to be enough. So let's get right into it. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. This episode has been about 1, 2, 3 years in the making. I don't remember now because COVID threw off my timeline and I think everyone's. But Jordan, I'm so excited to have you on. I got turned onto your account because as a relationship specialist, you're all about self-love and how to heal together and all those wonderful things. And you just do a great job of like putting content out there that sums up what a lot of people are thinking or feeling, or maybe don't know they're feeling. And it's a reason why your account is so successful. Not that numbers are everything, but clearly you're doing something right. So I'm super excited to have you on to dive into relationships. As a relationship specialist myself, you know, we're dealing with a lot of different things that we always don't know how to deal with. And there are people like yourself that it's great to ask questions that maybe you have answers to, maybe you don't, and we can figure it out together. So Jordan, can you introduce yourself to the listeners so we get to know you a little bit?
Thanks, Eli. It's so good to be here. And like you said, so this is years in the making. So it's good to finally be here and to chat with you today. I'm a therapist and I did individual couples and family therapy for several years before I started my Instagram account, The Love Therapist. And that grew organically over a few years to, like you said, about 250,000 people following me. And that actually shocked me how quickly it grew and how many people were messaging me and reaching out, needing help and asking for advice. And I would usually encourage people to find a therapist to see. And so many people would tell me, I can't afford it, or it's not accessible to me where I am, or they didn't want to see a therapist because of something related to the stigma. But they were asking me for self-guided resources. And so that got my wheels turning and I started thinking, how can I help these people more? And just beyond the posts and videos and things that I was posting on this Instagram. So I had this vision to bring together a bunch of therapists under one app to create self-guided content that people then could access 24/7 anytime right in that moment when they needed it. And over the last about two and a half years, I've been building Remble full time. And Remble is a digital mental health app. We have partnered with over 40 different therapists, one of the largest mental health publishing companies, for content. And we have over 150 courses on relationships and parenting and anxiety, depression, trauma, all kinds of relationship mental health topics. We have TikTok style videos from therapists. We have a library of coping skills and breath work and guided meditations. We have an AI chat that we call Mia, who is designed and trained and monitored by therapists. She's completely anonymous, but she provides 24/7 support. So we now have users in all 50 states and 158 countries. So just really excited about how much we've grown and how many people we've been able to help. And then we recently also expanded to create what we're calling the Provider Assistant, which is essentially a suite of AI tools for therapists to help them with treatment planning, finding new activities and interventions, and just helping them to do their job better and to find resources to use with clients. So that's been a big journey and that's been my full-time It's for about two and a half years now.
I love it. I wish I had that AI for treatment plans when I was an intern and a student. Oh my gosh. I make this joke really often, Jordan, that I would rather speak in front of a million people every day of my life than write. And writing treatment plans was the biggest stressor because I am not a great eloquent writer. I'm a better speaker. So like to sum up, a treatment plan that was, and also I was working for Medicaid, Medicare clinic. So it was like very regimented, extremely potentially audited, a lot of stress. And I had one supervisor who was super chill, was like, you did a great job. Here's what you do better. And I had another supervisor who was extremely micromanaging. And every time I would have her sign my treatment plans, I would get like a panic attack, like a mini panic attack, just because of the intensity that, so I wish I had AI back in the day to write my things. And I think, you know, it's funny.
Well, it's amazing what it can do. And I just, it helps therapists to save so much.
Cause you know what? And it doesn't, it's not just about time. It's about that. I'm not here to poo poo treatment plans. There is a goal. There should be goals for your therapy. Anyone listening who's a therapist or someone who is a client, you should always have goals and direction of your therapy. But all these administrative things and all these things on the back end of what it means to be a therapist steals energy from the therapist being able to be the best therapist that you can be. And yeah. It steals the idea of being human. It's pressurized. I remember I used to work at this clinic in New York. I was seeing like 40 to 45 people a week. Okay. Doing treatment plans on top of it, having 10 to 12 hour days. That's not sustainable for me to be a good therapist, a quality therapist, and a human. So if something can help me deal with all the extra stuff and let me and free me up to be a therapist, I can focus my actual skills versus, oh my gosh, I have to write this down and treatment plans and diagnostics and I have to stay late, right? AI is a beautiful thing. We should embrace it. We shouldn't be afraid of it. I use AI very often for social media posts, as well as sometimes my treatment plans if I can't figure out the best way of saying something because I don't have that skill. I love that you're creating that atmosphere and that thing. Jordan, I'm super excited to have you on, like I said, because you are someone who brings a lot of knowledge and really a beautiful perspective. And there's something that, you know, I was doing some research and some homework before talking to you. And I want to dive into some posts that you say that really spoke to me, as well as then that be a springboard to some of the conversation we have. You know, there is this very powerful myth of self-love, right? And not the myth of self-love, but the idea that without that I fully love myself, that I don't deserve love from others, or I don't have the ability to be in a relationship. Can we talk about what that myth is? Can we talk about why that people feel that way and maybe some truths to it, as well as what else there is within that statement?
Mm-hmm. As you were saying that, I thought about it, part of it comes down to the sense of worthiness or worthiness or unworthiness. And people, we often think, well, I'm not worthy of that type of relationship because whatever it is, whatever our stories are about, I'm not enough. We all have those kind of core wounds or those core stories of whether it's some common ones are I'm not enough or oh gosh, there are so many of them. I'm not enough is one that I've taken on.
I don't deserve it.
Yeah, I don't deserve it. And I'll just fail I don't deserve that love. And
who am I?
Unfortunately, they can be really, really deep in our subconscious often. And so we don't even realize that. And so I think that's a big part of where that myth comes from, is feeling like, you know, I have to feel worthy. I have to feel like I'm enough. I have to love myself before I can allow someone else to love me, before I can actually receive that love. Often we feel like we have more that we can give than we will allow ourselves to receive. And so although, you know, I think relationships can be a really beautiful place, and create that space and that environment and that mirror and that reflection where someone does see all of the beauty and goodness in us and wants to be with us for a reason. And so that can help for us to build our own sense of self-worth and self-love. And as we see ourselves through another's eyes, right? As kiddos, as we grow up, we're constantly looking for validation. And it's important for us to learn to validate ourselves internally and to of course always be on that journey of self-love. But I encourage people to not let that stop them from being in a relationship, in a healthy relationship, because that sense of self-love and self-worth is just, you know, usually a lifelong journey. And it would always amaze me. So I would have clients that would come in and I would ask them, what are a few things that you love about yourself? And some people would struggle to even come up with one or two things that they love about themselves. And so it's a lifelong journey. And it's something that I think more people struggle with than we realize.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a story that I grew up hearing often about a town that this is not a real story, but, you know, like one of those, like, I don't know what the little adages and things that the fairy tales or whatever story you grew up. And they lived around salt water. And the king or the mayor or whatever, the queen, whoever the royal family was, the leaders of the time said, you need to purify the water before you use it. So they would take it and do their process and they would use the water. Well, one day there was a fire and the fire department came and things burned down. And the king or the mayor or the head family comes and goes, what went wrong? What the hell? So, well, we had to purify before we use the water, and everything burned. And he's like, but when there's an emergency, when there's something that needs you, needs the water, you use it no matter what it is. And I think sometimes we feel that we have to purify ourselves and be perfect for relationships, when sometimes relationships just call us to show up without being perfect, without the purification. And I remember when I was a supervisor in New York, I had a student who was extremely worried that she had her own stuff, so she couldn't be a therapist. I'm like, every therapist has stuff. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I have ADHD and anxiety. I get into arguments with my wife. I'm a father of two kids. Like, stuff happens. But I know that that makes me full. That makes me full as a person. And then I bring my fullness to the session. I bring who I am to the session. And the same thing, I think, happens with relationships. We have to bring our full self. If we're expecting perfect self-love, that if I don't love myself fully, how can I give love to someone else or get love? We're going to be alone. We're going to be alone because it's never going to be full. It's never going to be 100%. It's a lifelong journey to love others and love ourselves. And some seasons of our life, we have a lot more love for ourselves, and some seasons we don't. So, you know, how do we accept ourselves for that fullness of ourselves? The lacking, right? The weaknesses, the holes in our character, as well as the beauty. How do we accept ourselves to give to a relationship? Not just accepting love. How do we give to a relationship when we're not sure what it means to be in a relationship? We're not sure what love is. Maybe we've had a history of love that hasn't gone well. How do we accept who we are today to jump into a new relationship?
I like what you said about, you know, letting the relationship pull you into your potential, basically, is how I would summarize what you said. And oftentimes relationships can be that beautiful space that give us that opportunity to love more, to love another more, to love ourselves more, and to give us the opportunity to get to practice who we want to be. And I think that it's real. We have to be really careful not to get stuck, because that's kind of a story that we create in our minds, that I'm not good enough to be in a relationship, or I'm not ready yet. And we can get in that place where oftentimes, like, we never feel like we're ready. And because that's the story that we tell ourselves, I'm not ready to be in a relationship. And but when will we be ready? And I remember when I was wanting to start my Instagram account, for example, I was like, I'm not ready yet. I don't know enough. I haven't been a therapist long enough. Mm-hmm. And it was after a few years of that, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to feel ready. And I just have to do it anyway, and trust that I will develop the skills and develop whatever I need as I go in order to be who I want to be in order to do that. And same with relationship. We may never feel ready. Like, is there a material kind of milestone that you're trying to reach before you feel like you're ready for a relationship, or you love yourself enough? When will you be ready? And so there's that balance between, you know, finding this full acceptance of where we are, and then also making steps towards being who we, you know, coming even more into who we want to be towards that growth.
Is there a baseline for what we should or need to have to be in a relationship, or even to jump in or start, that is just smart? Because, you know, this might be not, you know, a good equation, you know, equal footing, but let's say we're struggling in relationships. We shouldn't just be like, well, I'm not really ready to have kids, and our family's not ready to have kids. Let's have kids and see what happens, right? Because it's another human that we have to take care of. We should be at a good standing, somewhat ready to have kids. And what that is depends on the couple, I guess. But is there something, or like some truths about relationships or self, that we should be kind of checking off or working on that we can know we're getting into that stage of getting into a relationship?
Yeah, I would say that having a certain amount of self-awareness. And so maybe if you think I'm not ready for a relationship, maybe there's some wisdom in that and there's some self-awareness, but maybe not. And so I would say there aren't any hard set rules that I would give to where now you're ready for a relationship, but not if you're here. And, and so I think it's really individual, and it's really, is that something that you desire? Do you desire to relationship, and why? And that would be something to explore a little bit more, is why do I want to be in a relationship? Is it because I feel like I need it to feel worthy or to feel loved? And is it feeling some hole or feeling some sense of lack that I have within me? And if so, that's okay. But it's just good to have some self-awareness around that, because there are some implications of that, and that then what happens if you separate? Then, you know, if your sense of self-worth comes from that relationship and you are using it to kind of fill that hole, then maybe there are red flags that you'll overlook because you're just so wanting that love and that affection and that companionship that you're overlooking things that you may later realize, oh, those were actually kind of non-negotiables for me that I compromised on just because I was so badly wanted that companionship. And so the self-awareness is really important. I think there's kind of a baseline of learning communication skills, if that isn't something that you that was modeled for you by your parents or that you've learned in your life. There can be a certain amount of just skills that can be really valuable to have in relationship, and following accounts like yours or mine, or there are a lot of different places where you can learn those communication skills, like active listening and I statements and just the basic things that may seem a little bit too simple, but often it's the simple things that make the biggest difference in relationships.
Yeah, I love that. You know, there's something you wrote about when it comes to choosing our partner, right, for who they are. And I've worked with many clients where the arguments and the tizzies, the fights, whatever things you want, whatever word you want to use for those are, well, I need you to change this, I need you to change that, and you haven't changed this yet. And we keep talking about this change and the work. What's the difference between needs not being met and changing someone because of who they are? What can you talk about that difference, and maybe how we can maybe reframe or rethink that way when it comes to our relationships? And I have follow-up questions depending on what you say.
Yeah, I think a lot of this is about being with someone for their potential, for who we want them to be, rather than for who they actually are. And that's where what we were just talking about, when we are using relationships to kind of fill perhaps this sense of emptiness that we may have, or just because we're so desperate for companionship, then we start to compromise and we may overlook who someone is actually, because we so desperately want them to be. We may have this dream of who we want as a person, and oftentimes early as a partner. And so we oftentimes will idealize someone when we're first in a relationship with them, and we overlook some of the little things that may become big things down the road. And so the self-awareness comes in here, where we need to have that certain amount of self-awareness around our needs and what we want in a partner. As I encourage people who are dating to really identify, okay, what is it that I'm looking for in a partner? And what are my needs in relationship? And what are my non-negotiables? And it can be really helpful to have that actually written down to return to when you are, you know, in the early stages of dating someone, because like I said, when we have the, you know, all of the endorphins and everything at the beginning of a relationship, we have that kind of like that chemical cocktail, and we feel so good and so high and so in love that we just often overlook things. And so it's okay to have needs and expectations. I think that where we get in trouble is when we have those expectations and they're not communicated, they're unspoken. And then, we are then wanting to change our partner to meet those expectations, but there isn't that direct and open communication about what the needs are in the relationship and an honest conversation about whether those needs can be met, how they can be met, and what type of negotiations can happen to get those needs met. Mm-hmm. And so then that's when resentment builds, right? When we have that mm-hmm. expectations and then they're not getting met because we're trying to change our partner. And so then we become resentful. And then mm-hmm. Once resentment, I think, is one of the biggest silent killers of a relationship. Resentment is one of the big ones that if you don't catch it early on and when it grows, it can be really, really, really difficult to start to kind of turn that around because
When I hear, you know, I work with couples at different stages of their relationship, and I always get excited when a couple comes earlier on than later. Because mm-hmm. I feel like I, as a therapist, I have more hope in the process because, mm-hmm. What people don't realize, and when it comes to couples work and relationship work, it doesn't always work out, right? A lot of couples that I work with end, not all and not every, and, you know, not most, a lot of couples leave very happy and successful in their relationships. A lot of couples don't because they came too late for things to potentially be repaired, but cut and leave with awareness of what has happened, how to move forward, and what maybe didn't go right this time, but can go right another time, or ways to kind of combat it another time. And it just is such a sad thing. And anyone listening, and I'll say this a million times till the day I die, if you're struggling in a relationship, just reach out to someone and start talking. It's not a problem. It doesn't have to be a problem or get to a problem. It could just be an inkling, an issue, a feeling, something small, something big in the starting stages could save a relationship that has so much potential and beauty to it. And I always joke around about this, that whenever you watch like these reality TV shows, these love shows, I always wish there was a therapist there to like help them early on so that, because there's a reason someone falls in love with you. There's a reason that you love them. There's a reason you're in a relationship with them. There's a reason that you're attracted or pulled to them. And sometimes people get tripped up in such simple ways that lead to such destructive patterns and viewpoints of their partner. And, you know, when we're all about the change and all about the effort and all about the work, something I wanted to ask you is, what if someone's not willing to do the work of your needs? The basics are the basics are accepted, right? The basics are there. Those musts, those must-haves are there. But like the other stuff that would be really nice, that would help enhance your life. But how do you deal with that when someone is not saying, I'm good, I'm not going to change, but they aren't changing or changing the way you hope or need or the speed that you would like?
Well, and that's where the communication is really important. And it's really a decision for you to make, right? Is that a non-negotiable need for you? Or is that a need that is negotiable? Is that something that you're okay with waiting? Are they making an effort? Are they wanting to try to meet your needs in that way? Maybe they may not do it in the way that you want, that you may want them to, but maybe they're making efforts in other ways. And so that direct and open communication is really important. And that self-awareness of is this a non-negotiable need for me? Is this something that I think that they can meet? Is this something that is, you know, how important is this to me? Is this mm-hmm. a need that I get met in other ways? Oftentimes we expect our partner to meet our every single human need. I think it's really healthy to have friends and to have family and to have other people in our lives that can meet those needs that may not be met by a relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't know that. I think it's kind of unrealistic oftentimes to expect one person to meet our every single need because we're different people. We have different histories and backgrounds and hobbies and preferences and likes, dislikes, ideas. And it's okay to get certain needs met outside of the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's just important to communicate about that with your partner. Maybe your partner doesn't want to travel and that's really important to you and you need to travel. And so maybe you find a group of friends that you travel with and that's a need that you get met outside the relationship and that's mm-hmm. okay. And I want to also go back to something you mentioned about I 100% agree with you about the importance of getting help early on. I love it when couples come early on to get help as well, just because oftentimes couples wait. I think it's an average of 7 years after the point of like when they're actually starting to need help, and they wait until they're in absolute crisis on the brink or verge of separation before they seek help. And I think that's probably why, like you said, there are a lot of couples that decide to go separate ways in therapy. And that's, I see that often, you know, I don't see that as a failure. I see that as, I can see that sometimes also as a success, because you are, you've learned, you know, like having that awareness of what you've learned from the relationship and what your needs are. And if there is a recognition that, okay, this actually isn't a fit anymore, and, you know, our journey growing together is coming to an end, and this chapter is coming to an mm-hmm. end, that's opening the space for some beautiful new beginnings and new other relationships and experiences in life. And so I try to reframe that, not necessarily as a failure, because that can be really a success too, and kind of a coming home to yourself as well, mm-hmm. when you actually, this relationship isn't, may not be working anymore. And mm-hmm. maybe it is the best thing for both of us to go separate ways, and that's okay. But, and like you said, oftentimes, you know, when we do get help early on, or when we do like, when we do identify, okay, these are some things that we need to work on together, that's the preventative work, that then we're not having to do the reparative work mm-hmm. in the relationship. We can oftentimes prevent a lot of things when we're more proactive about it.
100%. I love that. Yes. Yes. And I think that there's so much truth behind, you know, all this hard work. And I think that, you know, I say this often to my clients, that it's going to be hard work, but it doesn't have to be difficult, right? Relationships are hard. It doesn't have to be difficult. Just like I say this line, and I think I posted about this, or I haven't yet, and I thought about it, or whatever. I wrote something and didn't post it yet, that like every day that I have my family and my health and a focus of life is a wonderful day. Not a good day. It's not always a magical day. It doesn't mean that there aren't hardships, but it's a wonderful day, right? Relationships can be amazing, but they are a challenge and hard, because we're dealing with another person and their stuff and all of our stuff. Just like parenting is hard, right? We have our things, our kids have their things, and we're trying to like mesh it all together and make it work and somehow have a good life. Not always happy, but when it gets difficult, when it gets suffering, when it gets hurtful, when it gets painful, those things are not a good sign. And it doesn't mean that the relationship is over, or that it has to end. But therapy to me, and the work that I do with my clients, is to bring them to a place that of challenge and hard, and that it's hard, not difficult and painful, because that's suffering, right? We don't want to be suffering. And sometimes suffering ends by us not being together. And, you know, if you read or look at work by Vanessa Bennett, like It's Not You, It's Me, or It's Not Me, It's You. I forgot the title of her book with her husband, John, or boyfriend, I don't know what they are, that this idea that we have to work on this till the day we die. Well, sometimes we aren't fit for each other anymore. And that doesn't have to be a fault or a problem in ourselves, but the beauty that we grew, right? So something that I wanted to last thing I really wanted to ask you is, how do we grow in with individuality as well as embrace the growth of the couple?
Yeah, that's a great question, because in every relationship, there are three components, right? There's you, there's me, and then there's the relationship. And it's so important to for each of us to maintain that balance between independence, which is the focus on me, and the balance between independence and, I guess, the other end of the spectrum would be that codependence, the codependency where you are so focused on the other person that you kind of lose yourself in the relationship. And interdependence is what I would see as kind of the balance between the you, the me, and the us in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And so remembering, like taking space away from having some individual time where you are alone or doing things on your own, I think is really healthy and important in relationships. Whether it's you have your own hobbies where maybe I go climbing on my own on Wednesday nights and you go and hang out with your buddies, or we have our own solo date nights once a week, or just solo nights at home. Sometimes it can be really nice to just have a night alone at home. And there's that balance where when you prioritize spending time with yourself, equally to how much time you prioritize being with each other. And every person may have a different preference for that. You may prefer to spend more time alone, and your partner may prefer to spend more time together. And so then you have to find a balance between the two of you that works for both of you. And that's different for every person and different for every relationship. But I think there are a lot of different ways to kind of maintain that sense of independence in a relationship. And part of that is just remembering and knowing who you are, what you like, and making time for yourself, because otherwise when I've personally experienced losing myself in a relationship, it happens in small, subtle, slow waves over time. And then you're years down the road and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know who I am anymore. I've completely lost myself in this relationship. And I've had people come to me and they're like, I need to figure out who I am now, because their beliefs became my beliefs, and you know, their hobbies became my hobbies, and their friends became my friends. And now I like don't even have the sense of who I am outside of this relationship. Yeah. And that can be a really beautiful journey also when couples do separate, or when partners do separate. There's a really neat journey of rediscovery oftentimes that happens of who am I and what do I want in my life. And that can be a really fun and hard sometimes, but beautiful journey of coming home to ourselves again and rediscovering who we are and what we like and what we want in life. And that can happen while you're still in a relationship too.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for the beautiful things that you're saying. You know, everyone needs to check out you. Right, Jordan, your account, Rumble is just hopefully going to impact so many people in a magical way, right? People are just looking for access and finding resources. So where can people find more information about you, your work, as well as Rumble?
So you can find me on Instagram as the.love.therapist, and Rumble, you can also find on Instagram as R-E-M-B-L-E, or you can go to rumble.com. The app is actually free, so we have a lot of free content on the app. And then we also have a premium version to unlock all of the different courses, but it's really affordable, only $90 a year for over 150 courses and all kinds of activities and tools. But the TikTok style videos from therapists, the AI chat articles are all free on the app. So if you're looking for some free resources, you can just go to rumble.com to create a free account and check it out.
Well, thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Dude Therapist Season 5. Can you believe it? I can't. What a journey. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whether it's your first episode you've listened to, or you've been a follower since the beginning, or just trying to catch up, I appreciate you. Thanks so much for really jumping in on this awesome opportunity and learning experience. You know, if you have any questions, ask them. You have thoughts, say them. I didn't finish a thought, or you have more ideas of what you would like to hear, just let me know. The door is open, so to speak. So please walk right in. Tell me what you think. Again, thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Dude Therapist, and hope you tune in next week.